Hey, I'm John Volger with Premier Guitar. I'm here with Stephen Wilson in Nashville, right for a sound check. Thanks for working us in.
Thank you.
So, I know you mainly as a PRS man. I've seen you
right.
Mostly with those. But right now, it seems like you're kind of more in single coil land.
Yeah, I fell in love with the sound we were just listening to there. Now, it's interesting because this is just a little practice amp. And this is the sound I made the last album on.
Yeah, it's so different from your earlier work. I really enjoyed it. Really, you know, it's a cool chapter.
Well, I guess I'm the sort of person that's always looking to change. You know, one of the things you can do, you can't change your own personality, but one of the things you can do is you can change the tools, you can change the people you work with.
Yeah.
So I'm always looking for kind of new sounds. And for whatever reason, this time around, I just totally fell in love with the sound the Telecaster going to this little H&K tube practice amp.
Right.
And what I was playing to you then, that actually was the first thing I wrote for the record, which is this song called People Who Eat Darkness. And I literally just plugged in, not this telly, I bought this telly later on, but I plugged in this pretty cheap Mexican telly I had. It was good, but it wasn't that expensive. It had been sitting in the corner of the room for years, literally unloved.
Yeah.
All my other guitars were out on the road one day, and I felt like I wanted to write something. So I plugged in this telly into this little amp, and I just started. And it's one of the most cliched things you can play on a guitar, you know. But it just sounds so cool.
Right.
And of course, the thing about the telly is that it's just got that very naturally aggressive kind of rock and roll sound to it.
Isn't that amazing? And it's like 60-year-old technology, and they just got it so right.
They really did.
The first time, without even really knowing what they were doing. You know,
right. So, which of course, I'm ignorant of most of this stuff. I'm not a scholar of guitars at all. But you know, I know I like something when I hear it. You know? So I just love this sound. And it pretty much became the signature sound of the To the Bone record. To the point that when I came to tour it, I had to figure out a way. Okay, I have to now bring Telecasters into my rig. I have to get this sound.
Right.
You know, or something equivalent, but using in the context of my rig where I can still go back and use my old sounds too,
right. And you still, just for you watching, I don't want to give away too much, but he has a massive rig here too, but this is part of it integrated into it.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of pedals, but then there's a part of the show where I literally we do this thing where I come on at the end of the show, first encore, I carry the little practice amp on with me, I carry the telly around my neck, and I just plug it in, and I play a song with nothing.
Oh, that's great.
Just the guitar, the little practice amp, and I sing.
Like a kid
like
in
a busker,
high school.
You know, like Billy Bragg or something. Right. Yeah, busker. So it's really both extremes. You know, lots of very impressionistic sounds where I'm using a lot of processing, and the most simple, you know, rock and roll, you know, guitar into an amp kind of approach possible. Yeah.
Right, where it all started. Well, talking of tellies, let's hear about this thing. What a cool guitar.
So this. Yeah, so I mentioned earlier about this, I had this Mexican telly which I'd bought. I think I bought it during this period about 10 years ago where I thought, okay, I'm supposed to be a guitar player. I should have a telly.
Yeah.
I should have a Strat. I should have at least classic guitars should have one of each. So I went out and bought this Mexican telly. I didn't pay a lot of money for it. It's probably not the best telly in the world, but I bought it, so at least I had one. If I, you know, particular overdub I want to do on a telly, at least I've got one. And literally, it sat in the corner. I didn't touch it for about 10 years, literally. Yeah. It sat there untouched. And it was only really because I had this situation where all my other guitars were out on tour that I had to use this guitar. So it was serendipity, as they say.
Right.
And it started my love affair with the telly. Now, when I got to the point where I knew I was going to make the record and I was going to be using the telly a lot, and I knew I was going to be touring with the telly, I thought, okay, I should go out and get a really, really good one now.
Right.
And I went down to the Fender showroom in London.
In London.
And I just tried a lot of their guitars out. And you know, it's like with a guitar, it's whichever one you bond with, right?
Right.
I know nothing about guitars. I can't talk about pickups or neck, you know, different types of wood. It means nothing to me. Firstly, I just thought this was the coolest looking guitar I'd ever seen.
It is a very cool looking guitar.
Yeah. And they said to me, well, it's a custom 1960, it's a 1963 from the custom shop, which meant very little to me, except I like the idea that it's from the 60s.
Yeah.
Except it's not, of course, it's a replica of a 63. So, and I played it, and it just sounded great, and I loved it, and I fell in love with it, and I just think it's the coolest looking guitar I've ever owned.
It looks like a 60s Tele that was originally a Sunburst that somebody painted black over it with like spray paint.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly and that's exactly the effect they've obviously tried to create.
Yeah. So, it's got a real Joe Strummer kind of vibe to it.
Well, and funny you should mention that. My Mexican Tele is the Joe Strummer.
Oh, really? That's perfect.
Got all the Joe Strummer. So it looks like a copy of his original or beat up guitar, you know. Yeah. I like that. I don't like things to look too pristine.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah. Sure. But after a little bit of touring, they're going to look like that anyway.
Well, that's it. And I'm terrible with guitars. I treat them, you know, like dirt. So yeah. I'm every guitar player's probably worst nightmare in the way I treat my guitars. So it's going to end up looking pretty shabby anyway, but I like that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be kindling in a few.
Yeah, probably.
In a few tours. That's great. Okay, so that is presently kind of your number one on this tour, would you say?
Whenever I play material from To the Bone, I'm pretty much using the Telecaster because that's what I used in the studio. Yeah.
Well, very cool. Well, let's talk about some of the other ones you're playing.
Okay, so my faithful Paul Reed Smith. So you'll see how beat up this one is.
Right.
Because I played this a lot over the years. Actually, it's not too bad, is it? It's not too bad. But a few battle scars a few battle scars.
Noble wounds, yeah that's great.
So Paul Reed Smith guitars, I started playing these around about 2001 I started playing them. And I was very much, at the time I was very much into metal sounds. Mm-hmm. I wasn't making metal music, but I love the kind of musical vocabulary of metal music, and I wanted to get a lot more of that kind of heavy riff stuff in there. And I worked with a friend of mine's band, Swedish band called Opeth, and the guitar player in that band, Michael, was playing Paul Reed Smith's. And I loved the sounds he was getting out of his PRS guitar. So again, I went down to the Paul Reed Smith showroom at the time, or the distributor in England, and I tried a few Paul Reed Smith's guitars out. And this is not the one I originally got. I got this one a couple of years later when PRS very kindly decided they wanted to endorse me. And this, I think, is the best sounding I have. It's, you know, like every guitar manufacturer, they all sound different. This one has just been the one I seem to have bonded with the most.
Is it a Tremonti, do you know, the model?
Already, so you've lost me now. Tonto, is it a Tremonti?
It's gold.
It's gold.
Okay. It's the gold one. Yeah.
Sorry, you're speaking to real idiots and a real idiot here. I don't know all this stuff. I really don't know. Honestly, all I care about is does it sound good?
Yeah.
You're talking about the pickups, right?
Well, the I thought
DiMarzio
it might.
DiMarzio pickups.
They're DiMarzios. Okay.
Apparently.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it might be a Tremonti model, his signature model, but it's because it's kind of less poly shaped and a whammy bar. But I'm not sure.
You know a lot more than I do already.
Well, it's my job.
I've owned this guitar for a long time, and you already know more about it than I do. Yeah.
So, do you know what kind of DiMarzios you put in it? Okay, black and white ones, yeah. I recognize those. But anyway, it sounds great. I've heard that guitar on...
You're beginning to get a feel for where you shouldn't go now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right, don't... The sort of questions you shouldn't ask, right?
It's about soccer, we'll answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Okay, so that's sort of became your... it's not your initial PRS, but eventually became the
initial
one.
Actually I used for Drop D.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the reason I originally bought it, because I was doing a lot of stuff with drop tuning.
They do that well.
They do that really well. Yeah. So I bought one initially for drop D, and that's the one I still use for drop D in the show.
Okay, so let's hear this through the bad cap, through the big rig.
Sure, yeah. So this is a sort of metal sound. So that was kind of what I wanted the PRS to do, those big metal riffs.
Is huge. It's actually shaking my body.
And that's through the bad cat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fabulous. Okay, so between the Tele, this, and then what's your third guitar you're
So the third guitar is another PRS, but just in drop D. So we can whip that out if you like, Ton. So this
is your first.
This is the one I originally bought, the first PRS I ever owned. I actually went to the showroom in England and chose this one.
Yeah.
And this one we use for drop D stuff. So similar. But that's really the only difference. It's in drop D, yeah.
That's great. Well, long as you have that on, and we've talked about it a little bit, let's talk about this amp you're running into.
Okay. So this is a Badcat 50 watt Lynx head. And I've been using Badcat amps exclusively now, probably for about 15 years. And again, it was a very similar, it was around the same time I wanted something that would give me the big crunchy metal riffs, but also have the flexibility to do all the other stuff I do too.
Sure.
And I've been using them for a long time now, yeah.
And you're running it into this this attenuator,
so,
right?
So, yeah, so this is called an unleash, and all this really, this allows me from my pedal board to switch to a higher amplitude. So this is between the head and the speaker.
Okay.
So this is not driving the head any any hotter, because I don't want to do that. But sometimes I just want a little bit of extra volume.
Yeah.
For a solo or something.
Sure.
So I can program a patch in, which basically switches to the other channel on the unleash, which you can see. It just basically gives you two channels, different two different sort of volume settings that can choose between. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, actually, that kind of segues right into your pedal board. Let's talk about that. Okay. Now we are at the motherboard, the mother of all boards. Take us through this thing. It's really clean, man. I mean, there's a ton of stuff there, but it's really clean.
This pedal board was designed for me by the guy who makes the switching system, Gigrig.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel, who also has that YouTube show called Pedal Show, is that what it's called or something? Anyway, so Daniel is like my guru because he knows I know nothing about guitars, and I just say to him, Daniel, design me. So he knows what kind of thing I'm looking for.
Yeah.
He designed me the system. So basically the way it works is that I have one bank on the G2, the Gigrig switching system, is just what I call generic sounds.
Sure.
So I have a generic clean sound, I have a generic tremolo sound, a generic heavy sound, etc., etc. Pretty much each one of those is just engaging one of these pedals.
Mm-hmm.
So each of these switches here is one loop on the Gigrig. So this particular sound here, which I just call the clean sound, the only pedal engaged in that loop is the Sorso Audio EQ pedal.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So generally with clean sounds, I like them to be a little bit brighter than the Badcat naturally will make them. So I usually have a setting just to brighten up the clean sound. But this is essentially the sound going straight through into the amp, just the tiny little bit of EQ, just to brighten up a bit. So it's a nice sound.
Yeah.
So then, going through the patches then, so then I'll have one which has just got a vibrato pedal added and a little bit of delay added to it.
Okay.
The vibrato pedal is this one here, the diamond vibrato pedal.
Okay.
I love this pedal, absolutely love it. It just gives a little bit more colour to a clean sound without necessarily sounding like you've added anything to it, if that makes sense. So again, just a little touch of delay and a little bit of vibrato, and suddenly that sound is much richer, more colorful.
Yeah, it's a very subtle, it's that diamond back there, but it's not this, right?
No, this is just my readout for what the patches are called.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So this is just a display here that's giving me the name of this patch is vibrato, which is my generic.
And are these
BPM,
the 120?
That would be if I was using that facility. I'm not using that facility.
Oh,
but
wow, that's cool.
All I'm using this for literally is as a display to tell me what the patch is.
Okay, cool.
So that's my generic vibrato patch. So then I've got what I call my generic Pete Townsend patch. Now, one of the things that's nice about the Gigrig is you have pre and post gain.
Yeah.
So you can drive the signal at either end of the signal chain. So on this sound, it's essentially still a clean sound, but I've just given it a little bit more drive to the amp using the post gain to get the Badcat to just break up a little bit earlier. I've got a touch of compression from the Cali 76.
Right, the mini one. Yeah,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of using 1176s in the studio, so it made sense for me to have this as a pedal. And I've just got a little touch of room reverb on it as well. Yeah. That sounds particularly good with the Telecaster.
Yeah, so that is very Townsend. You know?
So that's another sort of generic sound that I call Townsend. Generic tremolo sound.
Yeah, that's great.
Just tremolo and a little bit of delay on that, and the compressors in as well.
And what tremolo are you using for that?
So that's the Moog. That's the Moog tremolo.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah, sure. Those are great. Really, we did a review of those. They're great.
Really nice. Yeah. Then my generic Leslie patch. So I'm using the Option 5 Leslie pedal. I love Leslie effects, and I've experimented with a lot of different Leslie sort of simulators. There are some great ones. I think I keep coming back to this one as my favorite, the Option 5. So that's on slow Leslie.
That's cool. I love the way it ramps up. It's not like immediately fast.
Right.
You can kind of
and you can set the time.
Like,
and you can set that. And also, it has that thing I love about real Leslie cabinets. It gives you a little bit of breakup and distortion as well. A little bit of drive. Yeah.
Well, Option 5. I've not seen it before. That
very
sounds
cool.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
So the next of my generic sounds would be what I call ambient leads. Okay. So this is just the Bad Cat. We should just mention the Bad Cat has two channels. Clean and dirty. So I'm also using the gig rig. I'm switching between the two depending on what the patch is.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one, the ones we've heard so far have been going through the clean channel. For the first time, we're going to hear one going through the dirty channel. And I've just added some delay to it so I can get a kind of a... One thing I should mention here, I'm a massive fan of putting delays before the drive stage, if you know what I mean.
Really? Yeah.
I don't like, because if you listen, I grew up listening to Neil Young records, right?
Sure.
And one of the things about Neil Young is he has all this reverb and all this delay before his gain stage.
Yeah.
So you get that kind of effect of the guitar almost trying to break through.
Well,
the effect trying to break through.
And but they can really get away from you like that.
I love it.
That's part of the beauty.
I love it.
The ghost
I love it when it's kind of off the hook. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So this, for example. That's rock and roll to me.
Right, that's huge.
That's rock and roll, yeah. Now, I do have the option also to do it the other way, but I have to then go through the clean channel. Clean channel using a Prince of Tone pedal, and then, of course, I can get the clean delay if I want
sure.
to. So I do have the option.
So, more tame and control.
So more traditional use of delay on a lead guitar sound. But personally, I hardly ever use that sound. I just love that sort of off the hook, out of controlness of having the delay driving the distortion as well.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's another of my generic sounds, what I call lead pedal as opposed to lead amp. So lead amp, this is just literally using the Bad Cat gain. And again, that's the delay going into the dirtiest channel as well. So, what else have I got here? Just a generic crunch sound. So this is using the amp tweaker pedal. Do you know this one?
Yes.
Yeah. So just. This is actually going through the Bad Cat. So again, I have a choice of gain using the clean channel and a pedal, or gain directly into the dirty channel of the amp.
Yeah, it's great to have all those different options at your feet. Yeah, that's too cool.
Very, very different in character, obviously. One you've got more control over in terms of amplitude and sound and all that stuff. But there's something about going through the dirty channel that to me is always more rock and roll, always more organic, more real. I don't find I use the pedal processing so much in those contexts. Right, and then the sound you already heard, just my basic metal sound, which is literally just guitar, nothing at all from the pedals into the amp. So that's just the sound of the Bad Cat.
Yeah, that's huge.
And then This is one of my favorites. Same sound, but with a electro-harmonics POG with a lower octave. I use that a lot too, yeah. God. I use that a lot too.
That's huge. It's like you think the stage is going to collapse when you hear that.
It's melted.
And you're running two POGs.
I am. I've got one one for a lower octave and one for a higher octave.
Oh, okay.
So it's...
controlled independently through that.
Yes. Yeah, so they're two completely different pedals, so they're two different loops on here.
Yeah.
So I can add a lower octave or a higher octave or both if I want to, yeah.
That's great. So do you program any per song or keep them at generic?
Okay, well, that's what's going to come on to. So this is my generic bank here,
yeah,
which I would say I use for about half of the songs in the show. The other half of the songs, where there are more complex songs which require a lot of different patches with very, very specific delays or reverbs, for example, which we're going to come on to in a minute, then I will actually create a whole bank for a specific song or a bank.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But this is the generic bank. I would say this is kind of a one size fits all for about half the show, half the songs in the show. So my last couple of generic patches are, again, a metal but with some delay added. Where are we? And then the final one is what I call the shoegazer sound, which is like a wall of sound.
Yeah.
Again, all that delay is going into the driven channel, you know. I love it. It's a mess.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah, that is big.
Yeah. So that's my generic just one thing to mention is the reverb and the delay I'm using. They're both Strymon. Strymon Big Sky for the reverb, Strymon Timeline for the delays. And that's midied up to the gig rig here. So every setting, delay and reverb wise, is unique to every patch I go to. Whereas, of course, that's not true of any of the other pedals. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, that's not true. The EQ is also MIDI. The EQ can be unique to each patch, and these two can be unique to each patch. All the rest of the pedals stay in their specific state throughout the whole show.
Yeah, the more like analog.
Yeah, yeah. The only one I haven't shown you is the phaser, which I'm using the Electro-Harmonix Small Stone phaser, which is...
Yeah, just that classic phase. That's
it's
great.
A classic phaser, and it's funny because I had to search for this one because it was a specific sound I love from the 70s.
Right.
And it's one of those pedals where it's not only about getting the right model, it's about getting the right year of the right model.
Right.
And I said to I played Daniel a particular song where I was hearing this phaser effect, and he said, you need this particular pedal, but you need the ones they made in 1974, which is
really?
It seems crazy to me.
Well, I guess it makes sense though, because back then you could maybe. Some components were only available
exactly.
during certain times.
Yeah, well, that's what he said. He says they changed the components after that.
Yeah.
The particular sound you want is the 1974 pedal. So he managed to track one down for me. It's a glorious.
Oh, that's great.
Glorious.
Yeah.
Phaser effect.
How cool, man.
So then other songs in the show will have their own specific bank. So I can go through the banks in the gig rig using this little extra switch here. So I go to bank two. And then I get the bank relating to a song called Home Invasion, and then all my patches are across the top for Home Invasion.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was really convenient that the guy that built Gig Rig built your board. That
yeah.
was really
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He really knew that rig.
He's my guru. He's amazing. Yeah. I mean I say to him, Daniel, what's the best tremolo pedal? And he'll say, well, because he knows my music too. So he'll say, well, for your kind of music and for your needs, this is the one, the best vibrato pedal, this is the one.
Huh.
Because I like writing music. I don't like spending forever researching every pedal under the sun, you know?
Oh, you can get bogged down in that, yeah. And that's great, and you can switch between your amps there as well. It's
yeah.
all really
so
convenient.
I'm switching between the Bad Cat and the little H&K for the Encore song I do.
Huh. And just running a quarter inch into this Boss...
Boss volume pedal.
Okay.
Wah-wah pedal.
But, those run before everything else.
Yeah, I think so. The Wah-Wah pedal is before.
Wah-Wah is first in the chain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
God, that's great. Do you know what powers all this? What power he's using for?
It's the
generator.
All these little gig rig distribution boxes. Yeah, all the cables are made by Klotz. I know that.
Oh, great! I love Klotz cables.
Yeah, and yeah.
Oh, that's great! What a fun little science experiment this thing is, right?
Yeah. It's basically a guitar setup for someone who's not interested in messing about.
Right.
It's very clean. It gives me exactly what I want. It gives me all the options I need. It's fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of colors on the palette.
Man. Yeah, that's
great.
And I do, you know, the thing about my music is I do use a lot of different sounds. Very often within the context of a single song, there are basic heavy sounds, there are clean sounds, there are more sound design-y elements, things you wouldn't even necessarily recognize as being a guitar. And this is the rig that gives me all of those possibilities.
And also the option of just a telly through a practice amp.
Exactly. So
which
you,
is great.
Exactly. So really from the most simple setup of all to something that's got literally all the buttons pressed and is more impressionistic and more sound designy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Well, Stephen, thanks so much for taking the time. I know you guys have sound check and you're on this tour, but man, thank you so much.
This My pleasure.
Been a treat to go through it.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks very
Cheers.
Much.
Cheers. Till next time. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/Rig Rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers. See you soon.